Blog Talk Radio.
Was Marvin Gaye, y'all, singing the national anthem as only he could. Good evening and welcome center stage tonight. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. So glad you joined me for what should be a really great discussion. With only days from us electing the 45th president of the United States, we have what they say is 90 million or 40% of eligible voters who they say will not go to the poll because they say they do not like either candidate. We hope that that is not the case with you tonight. We want to know, who are you voting for and why? With issues like high unemployment, high foreclosures, high gasoline prices, we definitely hope you have a say in this upcoming election. Tonight, we have some guests with us that are Facebook friends of mine, and they are very vocal on Facebook about what they believe, about who should win and how they feel about this election. And we're going to bring them on tonight to just have a really just down-home discussion about how we feel the debates went, how we are looking at this election, just everything about this election, from what we think of the candidates, what do we think of the debates, what do we think of just everything concerning this election. So without further ado, let me remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce a fellow Blog Talk Radio host, Ms. Kimberly Noor. She has a show here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Mr. Chris Stevenson, who's a writer for Buffalo Bullet, and also he has 360 seconds here on Blog Talk Radio. So let me open phone lines. Good evening, Kimberly. How are you?
Good morning, or good evening. I'm good.
And Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. And 770, I'm not sure who I'm opening, but I'm going to open you. Good evening.
Yes, this is Jonathan Maxwell, the author.
Oh, hi, Jonathan. How are you? And Jonathan Maxwell was originally scheduled to be on tonight's show, and I sent Jonathan an email, and I apologize if you did not receive it, Jonathan. We got some hate mail about a show that we were going to do tonight. But, Jonathan, you're welcome to stay with us tonight because definitely he has a lot to bring to the topic. We were going to talk about the connection between Hitler's regime and some of the things that we see about our government today. But we received several emails that were very disturbing, and they advised that I not do the show. And because it's so close to election time and there's so many things going on, I decided at the last minute not to do that show. So forgive me, Jonathan. I sent you an email via Facebook. I don't know if you received it or not.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. But you're welcome to stay with us tonight if you'd like to join us for this topic.
Oh, sure. That would be great.
Oh, great. We're talking about who's getting your vote on Election Day. It was just you all. Center Stage has been through a storm already with the show we did. We did two shows on a shooting here in Fort Worth, and since then I've been under a tremendous amount of stress from the department that was involved in that shooting. And so because of that, after I got the emails about this particular show on the Hitler regime, I just decided that the timing may not be right for that show. So that's why we switched. So I apologize for anybody who tuned in just for that show. I do apologize, but it was a last-minute decision. Okay, y'all, we're going to switch it up. We're going to lighten it up a little bit tonight. We're talking about who's getting your vote on Election Day. We are just days away from, as I said in the intro, electing the 45th president of the United States. That being said, have you all decided already who you're going to vote for?
Yeah.
Oh, I decided a long time ago myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've decided as well.
Wow. Okay, well, Jonathan, we'll start with you. You decided that you're going to vote for, or are you going to tell us?
Very proudly, I'm voting for Barack Obama. He got Osama bin Laden. He has withdrawn troops from Iraq, and he's in the process of withdrawing troops from Afghanistan. And his health care mandate, not only will it provide health insurance to millions of Americans who are currently underinsured, but recent studies have indicated that Obamacare will actually help reduce the deficit. So I think that we're definitely on the right track with Obama. He inherited a mess. But I think he's rectifying things. So I think that because of what he's done for us, I think we should give him another 4 years.
Oh, okay. Kimberly, have you decided already who you're going to vote for?
I have. I will not be voting this year for anyone, any candidate, not Republican, Democrat, nor third party, because I no longer support the system in which they stand for.
Really? Wow. Now, that's very interesting. Chris Stevenson, have you decided who you're going to vote for?
Oh, yeah, I'm voting for the same guy I voted for last time.
And that was?
That was President Obama. Matter of fact, I got a private message on Twitter from Michelle, believe it or not.
Really? And it says?
Yeah, that was this morning. She asked me to use my influence on Twitter to drum up followers and get followers for the Obama 212 campaign. That's now a separate page for Obama on Twitter. So I'm letting people out there know, you know, the Obama 212 campaign on Twitter is verified, and you know, hit the follow button on that as soon as you can.
Okay. Kimberly, let's go back to the fact that you said you're out of it completely. Now, some people will say that people died for the right for us to vote. So that considered, do you feel any guilt at all for not voting?
Well, no, actually, I mean, people have died for the wrong reasons, and I don't think it's just the right to for, you know, for me to vote. I mean, I think people go off and, you know, for wars and different things, but it's not necessarily just for that. The system is set up wrong from the beginning. It was set up in a very, you know, to create more of a slave state kind of system, and it's a broken system, and people need to wake up and realize that.
So is it your belief that neither candidate is going to work in our best interest? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, y'all. Okay, it's going to get very interesting, y'all. Well, you know what? Looking at the polls, from what I can tell, the race is very close. Do you all believe in the polls, or do you believe that there's a margin of error in those polls right now?
Generally, I think the polls are actually right on target. You know, virtually all of them, whether you're talking about Fox News or the Gallup polls or, you know, the ABC polls, you know, what have you, they're generally stating that it's more or less tied, although a few polls are insisting that Romney might have a one-point lead, or some polls might indicate that Obama might have a one- or two-point lead. Actually, you know, there are actually a lot of reliable news sources out there. People like to complain about the media and how misleading it is, and yeah, there are some media outlets that are less than reputable and are, you know, highly partisan. But, you know, then again, a lot of news agencies do a fantastic job. They're very unbiased, and their polls are generally quite reliable. Certainly, ABC News, I think, is reliable, as well as CNN, MSNBC. I think the polls are pretty much right on target.
Well, Chris, do you think the polls are right?
No, I got a suspicion last weekend that the polls might be skewed, okay, especially the one that where Romney was suddenly, I think he was either pulled even or pulled ahead or was even. You know, I'm not, you know, the polls don't win elections, number one. Okay, let's remember that, you know. It's like in the case of George H.W. Bush, he was beating Bill Clinton by 10 points in the polls.
Speak up just a little bit, Chris.
Okay, and, you know, after that, you know, he actually lost the general election to Bill Clinton. So polls do not win elections. They're important, yes, but we can't put but so much trust into them. And polls are known, they're very notorious for just petitioning just one segment of people, you know. So, you know, I really can't go by. I don't take polls, but, you know, so serious.
Well, you know, ultimately it's about who goes out to vote. But I think the really good part about all of that is that I think voters, whether Republican or Democratic, I think they're very energized. So, you know, obviously there are going to be segments of the public who are not going to vote, but I think people are going to be very pleasantly surprised. I think that voters are very energized right now, and I think that most citizens will be voting. I say that rather confidently.
Really? Kimberly, do you believe the polls are accurate, or do you believe that there's a huge margin of error in there most of the time?
You know, sometimes I think, like, the polls are based on a lot of media and what the media tends to tell people and tends to tell, like, the viewers of the TV and the people that follow the election and follow all of this information. So, you know, I don't usually watch the TV. I don't usually watch the news, but I did happen to turn it on the other night. I'd gotten up in the middle of the night, and I turned the TV on, and it was on a news station, and there was a guy on there, and I think it was maybe headline news, and he was saying that statistically, it's usually like the two swing states that kind of can predict who's going to win the election, and Ohio being the first one. So I found that very odd, you know, that they can say that already, like whoever wins Ohio will be definitely the president, and it's been like statistically proven that. But you kind of wonder, like, okay, if that's the truth, then, you know, like, what is the rest of the country doing here voting anyways, you know? And that's kind of there's so many reasons that go into why I will not vote anymore and play into this, which I feel like it's just completely, you know, it's just not a good system.
Well, sure. I would have to admit that the Electoral College, I think that's... I think in contemporary American society, I think it's outlived its usefulness. That being said, I think there's a strong possibility that Obama is going to get elected because of the Electoral College. Obama and Romney, there's a good chance that they might actually tie, and there's actually a fair chance that Romney might actually win the majority vote. So a lot of people are saying that, you know, the Electoral College has outlived its usefulness, but, you know, people should be very careful about saying that because, you know, if you're a Democratic voter, you know, you're certainly hoping that Obama is going to win the Electoral College. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I would be the first to admit that, yeah, it is an imperfect system. That being said, I still think that, you know, American society, I think that, you know, it has a good system. It has its flaws, but nevertheless, I still say it's a good system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, we're going to go to area code 314 simply because I invited people tonight, so I'm not sure if this is one of the people I invited or not. Good evening, 314. You're on center stage.
Yes, Bianchi. How you doing?
Hey, Bianchi. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Who are you voting for? Can I ask?
Well, I'm kind of like the lady. I'm tired of this, really tired of politics. I'm.
You're
I'm
not voting.
I'm tired of Democrats. You know, I'm black. And
right.
Democrats have taken us for granted. We voted for them, and we look at our city. I live in a city that's been under Democratic control for 40 years, and it's nothing going on here. And Obama and his backdoor attempts of raising taxes, like the last September when they come up with this wage decrease, rather than take the decrease in the federal portion of the income tax, the FICA tax, they took it in the Medicare, something that's running along crippled just like Social Security. So it's nothing but a bunch of lies, a bunch of deceit. And, you know, you get sick and tired of these things. One problem is that Americans are not the smartest people on the planet. And we can see that in many instances. So, and as far as the poll is concerned, when I have a poller call me and ask me if I'm voting for Obama, I say yes, even though I'm not to, just to get them off the phone.
See, so polls could be inaccurate, and if people like you are not being honest with the people who are calling you, nobody's ever called me and asked me who I was voting for. So I don't know how they do these polls or how they pick who they call, because I've never been called. So I don't know if they go by if you've had a phone like for 50 years, and that's how, I don't know how they choose you. But I've never been called for one of those polls.
Well, you know, it's just so many things. Look at the, you know, when they first got involved and we got elected, they done away with the D.C. voucher program, which permitted low-income children to attend schools like Sidwell Friends, which his daughters attend. Then you have these other proponents, strong proponents like for Obama, like the NAACP, who would file a lawsuit against New York school district when they're talking about implementing charter schools or schools for charge, which 70% of blacks, when polled, they say this is what they want. So it's things like that which is just totally, totally doesn't make any sense, and I'm sick and tired of it.
Well, you know, I really think, like, you know, when you say that we're not the smartest people, I just don't think that we are utilizing the knowledge that we have not really been, not necessarily afforded, but I think it's like that we just don't realize that, you know what, we can step off the hamster wheel. We can get off the hamster wheel and step back and say, you know what, what's really going on? We don't need to really be dependent on a government to tell us how to think, to tell us what to do, to make a move for health care. You know, I mean, there's besides the government, but there's so many factors that play into it. But real education, not what the people want you to repeat for 12 years while you're in a school system, but really educating, teaching people how to be self-sustaining, teaching people how to survive and, you know, grow their own food and really do for themselves and not be so dependent on a large government system that doesn't work anyway.
But, you know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I agree with a lot of what Kimberly just said, but what I do know is that most people, I mean, in the whole lifetime will not get on that bandwagon. You know what I mean? Most people are just so afraid to think outside of the box that that's just not going to happen.
They might not jump on it, but if something like Greece, what's happening in Greece, a true revolution, what's happening in Spain, they are revolting over there. We don't see it because we're not watching mainstream TV. But if you go on live stream, you go on or Ustream, you know, you can see what is really going on. They're not showing you that. They're showing commercials for more medicine. They're showing commercials for you to get keep going on the hamster wheel, to keep supporting their system, to keep buying into consumerism, to keep you totally occupied from what is really going on behind the scenes. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know. There's this great Oz, but he's so scary, and it's so, you know, they keep you, you know, in line. They keep you, you know, doing what they want you to do. When really, when you pull the curtain back, you realize, wow, you know, I really have the power to govern myself. I don't need anybody to tell me that murdering is wrong, stealing is wrong. I don't need anyone to tell me any of those things. I know that what I would want is if I want the same, like if I want to be treated a certain way, I want to treat other people the certain way. I want to treat people, you know, help people. You know, we really need to go back to living in communities. We've become very separate with this consumerism that we, you know, that we're all on this hamster wheel, you know, paying taxes, buying into stuff. You know, most people, they go to work, they get a check each week, and each week they have to pay out bills, and then they don't have any money at the end of the month again, so they're back, you know, going back to work. It's the same cycle over and over again, paying for food that is so high nobody can really afford to even eat, paying for gas that is so high that people really can't even afford to drive. It's really a system that just keeps going up and up. The inflation is just, it's just a broken system, just a bad system all around.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm pulling for Obama, because studies have indicated that Romney's so-called tax plan will actually cost middle-class taxpayers an extra $2,000 to $3,000 annually. Certainly, again, I will admit that the system is flawed. However, you know, just sitting out of the election, I have to take disagreement. I have to disagree with those statements. I think that right now, absolutely, you have to get involved. I think that right now you have to take a stand.
I'm taking a stand. I'm taking a stand within myself because I'm not playing into that system. I don't want to play. It's not a game I like anymore. It's not a game that most people are really wondering, like, how can, you know, like, let's say I'm a single person and I work all through the year and I pay my taxes each week. And at the end of the year, I get to file my income tax and I've paid in $5,000. Then I get back $6,000 come, you know, March or April, whenever I decide to file my taxes, and I get to claim my one child and I get my, you know, tax child credit and whatever. Okay, now they've gotten my money all year. They've earned buku's amount in interest, the money going in and out of the Fed, back and forth in the Fed, supporting a system like war, which I don't support. I don't want my money going there. I didn't want my money going to them in the first place. And then they decide to give me, okay, $6,000 back. You know, like so many people do that. You know, like the whole system is broken.
You know, another thing, too.
Is it being broken?
I'm sorry?
I was asking Chris, do you agree that the system is broken?
Who, me?
Yeah.
The system has been broken. The system was pretty much broken under the Bush administration. You know, people are, discovering a lot of things with the Obama administration that really started in Bush's administration. What I see today is a lot of loyalty to Obama that was compromised due to, high-profile people like Matt Damon supporting Obama and then turning against Obama. Blacks like Tavis Smiley and Cornel West going on this so-called poverty tour, like poverty that started during the Obama administration.
But why do you think they turned on it?
What's that? Why do I think in their case specifically, you know, money talks and everything else walks, you know, BS walks. And I think there is some, when you look at it, there are you know, just as in the case with Tad Smiley's State of the Black Union programs that he had for years, who was supporting it but conservative, organizations or whatever. And it's the same thing here. You have the issue with the black preachers. You know, they were angry about Obama's gay marriage approval. And here's the funny thing. A huge chunk of the black church is gay. So the preacher is telling me, we were with Obama until he approved it. He approved you guys getting married. Now we don't like him. You know, they're basically turning on their own segments of their own congregations, you know, the piano player, the choir boy, whatever the case may be, or just regular people in their congregations. To me, it's all funny. It really is. You know, you have to stay focused. You know, I never let all of the stuff get to me because I listened to the Obama critics from before he was elected, and I think it was Sean Hannity who really came out and emphasized over and over again the socialist and communist accusations. You know, I mean, he would mention that word like every 10 seconds on some shows. When he talked about Obama, and he's the one that really made it popular. And I think a lot of people, knowingly or unknowingly, fell victim to this, and their faith in Obama broke down, okay? You have some people who voted for Obama who expected him to walk on water. And, you know, I didn't vote for Obama to be God. I just voted for him to be president. That's it.
But you know, and I agree with that. I agree with that. A lot of people thought, well, we got a black president, so that means we got somebody who's really fit to help the black people. That said, did Obama do anything to help black people since he's been in?
Well, I think he's helped all Americans.
No. That's a specific question because, you know, I can tell you what he did for each group, but I'm just saying, has he specifically done anything to help black people since he's been in? That's just.
Well, you know, I can tell you one thing. In 2008, you had 16.1 million blacks come out and vote. Of course, we know that upwards of 97% voted for Democrats. But according to the Bureau of Labor Standards statistics, in April of this year, you had 12.1 million blacks with full-time wage and salary jobs. You actually got a third more blacks voting than what is working, which is a travesty. Looking at the unemployment rate of black teens, looking at the unemployment rate in the black community, looking at the poverty rate where you've got 46% of the American public is on poverty, where you got 22% of black population is on poverty, which equates to about 10 million people. That is tremendous. Another point that gets me with Obama is that you know, he made an opinion about same-sex marriage. His opinion don't mean anything. That's up to the states. But when he takes money, taxpayers' money, and uses it to internationally fund these organizations that's going into African countries, trying to persuade these societies to open up to gay marriage, same-sex marriage, and also the homosexual practices, then Obama and his UK friend is threatening to withhold aid from them if they don't do so. Countries like Liberia, Uganda, Nigeria, Zambia, where Planned Parenthood is coercing the parliament not to include in their revised constitution that life begins at conception, not to include in their revised constitution that marriage is defined as between a man and women. This is something which is totally absurd.
Actually,
I think there's a misconception there. I don't think that Obama has been necessarily pushing gay marriage on Africans. I think that Obama is trying to reduce homophobia in Africa. Because generally homosexuals in Africa, they have very little civil rights, if any. In fact, they're often brutalized by the populace. It's become very common in Africa for homosexuals to be stoned or murdered, and the assailants are often go on unpunished. I don't think it really has anything to do with gay marriage. I think that Obama is trying to push for stability in a region that unfortunately is very unstable right now. And as far as the dire statistics, not just in the black community, but Americans have problems. Poverty does seem to be increasing in America. And that applies to many working class whites as well as blacks. But I'm utterly convinced that it was George W. Bush who is behind most of these dire problems. If you remember, Bill Clinton left us with a very healthy surplus. And within a year or so of taking office, George W. Bush, I mean, he gave us, a massive deficit. Look at the statistics. Poverty increased in America by a whopping 34%. I think Obama inherited these problems. And, I get frustrated. And if you don't have a job, obviously you're going to get frustrated. But, are we going to stay the course with Obama? And I think there are signs that we're definitely on the right track. Last month, we actually picked up 114,000 jobs. Or do we want to go with the people who started the mess? And, of course, I'm referring to conservative Republicans. And, maybe blacks in America aren't doing so well in America right now. You know, obviously that's a problem. But is Romney going to provide any answers? I doubt it. He wants to do away with affirmative action. And, Mitt Romney has done absolutely nothing to pick up black voters. I think that one of the reasons for that is that Mitt Romney really doesn't care about the black community. He has not addressed a single issue that's pressing within the black community. Who does Mitt Romney stand for? I'm absolutely convinced that it's white conservatives just like himself.
And, we're going to touch on that in just a second, because I would like to talk about in the early part of this race, we saw the GOP candidates come out and very clearly seem to distance themselves from the black voter. I mean, they clearly seem, in my opinion, to make every effort to say, you know, people on welfare, you know, we're going to cut them loose. We're, you know, just everything they could say, in my opinion, to speak to a certain group, to let them know that they were going to do everything they could to work for them and not necessarily work for another group. And that I noticed early on, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But if you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight for the discussion, who's getting your vote on Election Day? We're talking to fellow Blog Talk Radio host Kimberly Noor, Buffalo Bullet writer Chris Stevenson, and author Jonathan Maxwell. Also, a reminder, the chat room is down tonight because I don't have anybody to man it. So if you have a question or a comment, you need to get on the phone lines. Dial us up at 347-850-8390 and press 1. Again, the chat room is down tonight because I don't have anybody to man the chat room. So if you have a question or a comment, get on the phone lines. Call us up at 347-850-8390. Okay, listen. And so I noticed that it just seemed like the GOP, the candidates were very clearly saying, black folks, we are not working for you. That just seemed very apparent in the debates that I saw. So that said, looking at the last man standing in the GOP being Mitt Romney, is he someone that can relate to the common man, to the black man? I mean, or does he seem clueless? And I'm not picking on Mitt, that's just a question. But does he seem clueless when it comes to people that are impoverished? Does he seem to get it?
Mitt Romney has something called Asperger syndrome, I strongly suspect. that's an illness that basically makes you detached from people at large, okay? You don't, excuse me, you lack a little bit of empathy, all right? And it's kind of like a political Down syndrome, okay? Mm-hmm. And you just don't feel, if you just don't feel people's plight or anything, then it's going to show. And I think that's one of the one of Mitt's issues, you know. You have his voters also, a large segment of them. I heard this morning about the hanging Obama figure in the Raleigh fuel station. Okay, there is a figurine of Obama actually hanging from this from the tower. I mean, from the hanging from this fuel station. All right, so. People talk about Romneysia. You got a lot of white voters who have what they need is racenesia, all right? Because that's still first and foremost on their minds. If you think about it, think about this. And I'm glad you asked that question. Look at Bain Capital, okay? Bain Capital destroyed a lot of businesses. That's in the cities as well as in the rural areas. He went in the small towns and everything in places like Ohio and destroyed companies like Ampad and other machine shop companies, whatever. You know, what they did was they grabbed the companies. Some of the companies were doing really good. Mm. It's like the 50s. And they get in there as a company, they get into these companies, they get divisive, they criticize the workers, they eventually start laying people off, and they gut the company of all its assets, and they leave the company high and dry, and the company closes down. We have a company here in Buffalo, just outside of Buffalo, that was a target of Bain Capital. Went under the same type of deal, okay? That company's now closed. That's 200 and something people out of work, okay? So it's not just that black people have to be very leery about voting for Romney. Whites also, okay? You know, and I most recently I was thinking about, on my show Policy and Prejudice, I address white females, especially even conservative white females. Why would you vote a guy who's going to marginalize you? Okay, he's talking about putting you in a binder. He wants his hand all in your uterus and everything. You know, you want to vote for a guy like this? Are you insane? Really, are you crazy? So, you know, from that standpoint, when you pull that lever, you're not just voting for your next boss. Is he okay? Because, there's more people voting than they are working. So you had, when you vote, when if you're unemployed and you vote, that means you are voting for your next boss. Who's going to be the best candidate to give you a job? You had better think very seriously against voting for Romney. He's proven right now he's got nothing for you.
You know what,
Kimberly? Does Romney even relate to the female or to the black voter or to the poor impoverished person? Does he get it?
You know what?
He relates to the high school and college prankster white kid from the
school.
That's it.
Let's keep in mind, this is a guy who believes that 40% of the American population are people who consider themselves victims and who feel as though they're entitled to government benefits. They want to live off government money their entire lives. Not only does Romney think very little of the poor and disenfranchised in America, apparently he also has major misconceptions about the middle class as a whole. We're talking about nearly 50% of the population here.
Well, I've seen cases where you have a mothers who make $800 and get $3,200 back on the income tax. So what he was saying as far as the 47% is absolutely correct. Another point, I was listening to a Blog Talk Radio program last night where you got 12 women, white and Latino women, who's filing suit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and Obama because of discrimination, sexual harassment, even rape within the Department of Forests in California. So he talks about the Lilly Ledbetter Act, but what about these women here? And this is not an exception from what I understood in the conversation that they had last night. So I don't know. I would have prepared Ron Paul if I was going to have a Republican. He's been saying the same thing for many years, and no one wants to listen to him. What is the Congress going to do with the $2.5 trillion that comes due after the expiration of the 30-year bond that Reagan floated back in 1983 when he compromised on the Martin Luther King holiday in order to borrow $700 billion from Social Security? That 30-year bond expires, and it comes due December the 31st this year, $2.5 trillion.
Let's keep in mind that Republicans traditionally have been the really big spenders. Deficit spending is most commonly associated with Republican presidents such as Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan gave us enormous deficits. George W. Bush has given us enormous deficits. The Republicans are always trying to portray themselves as being the fiscally smart party, but that's not true at all. The Republicans, at least in the past 30 or 40 years or so, they've been the major spenders. And Romney is going to, I think he's actually going to increase the deficits because he wants to dramatically expand military expenditures, and keep in mind that the Pentagon does not even agree with that. The Pentagon believes that the military is large enough, but Romney wants to dramatically increase military expenditures. He's been telling enormous mistruths about President Obama, saying that he has gutted the military. There is no truth in that whatsoever. So I think if Romney is elected, I think we're looking at more deficits, which will bring on more recession and more unemployment.
Kimberly,
You know what is so disturbing about all of this is that it's October 26, 2012, and we're still talking about blacks, whites, Hispanics, Latinos, minorities. We're all human. We're all part of a human race. We all are brothers, sisters, mothers, children, sons, friends, And it's just so disturbing to me because no matter who is up there, people are getting left out. There's people going hungry. There's people without housing. There's people without the basic necessities of life. And it's so, I don't understand why people don't get that it's the system. When you don't, when you decide not to play in a game you don't like anymore, then people can come together and make decisions and look at each other. What affects, what happens to you affects me. What happens to me affects each and every one of you, no matter what shade of skin you are. Because ultimately, you're really not black. And ultimately, I'm really not white. We're different shades of color. And we have to stop looking at people like that. We're humans. No matter if you live in Chicago, Florida, California, we all need to eat. We all need to survive. We all need to do things to benefit us as a whole, to live peacefully, to live and come together and unite. This system, it's not Barack Obama. It's not Mitt Romney. It's always going to be people left out. And until the system is, you know, basically gone, it's never going to change. It's always going to be people debating about things that really, in the long run, it's just the same thing. Each 4 years, the same thing, and it just kind of manifests itself a different way. You know, minorities are left out, supposedly. The white women are being, you know, put into binders. I mean, that's crazy. That's totally crazy. I mean, working for this system and the Federal Reserve and all of this nonsense, like, when are people going to wake up and think, you know what, we don't have to do this anymore. We don't have to play this game. We don't have to look at each other like you're the enemy, you're the minority, you're the woman, you're the black man. I mean, that's nuts. It's 2012. Let's all come together and move and evolve past all this BS, past this paper money BS crap, and really evolve. I don't. It's not really that hard once you think about it.
I agree. Let's go to the phone lines for a second. Area code 817-249. Good evening. You're on center stage. Area code 817-249. Last call. You're on center stage.
Good evening. Okay. How are you, Carrie? This is Pastor Campbell.
Oh, good, Pastor Campbell. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. And to all of your guests, good evening.
Hello.
I am very, very, very disappointed in the very fact that I do believe, number one, I'm not disappointed in President Obama at all because of the enormous amount of pressure that man is under from everybody. He's under pressure, as you well, and your guests have stated rightly. He's under pressure from the persons in business, the African American community, the gay community, the Hispanic community. He is under pressure from so many different people, and it's always like that when you're the first one. If anyone has read what happened to Jackie Robinson, Branch Rickey literally told him, "You really can't fight. You can't argue, you can't do really anything for the first 3 years.
Oh.
After the first 3 years, then you can let your temper out or whatever it was." But right now, our president is under an enormous amount of pressure, and I don't know why people cannot see that this is nothing more than blatant racism. There's a group of people in this country, and I think most of them are white, and I believe there are some good white people in the world that I would call my friends, I suppose, and there are some black people that I don't want to be associated with. The truth of the matter is it's blatant racism, and they want the White House white again.
This is so crazy.
John, I personally don't agree with all that, but it's Mitch McConnell,
Eric Cantor, Joe Wilson out of one of the Carolinas, I can't remember which one it was. When have you ever heard of a president from the floor, when someone from the doing the State of the Union, someone says to any president And the statement was, boy, you lie. They just say you lie. But there was a document that said, boy, you lie. When has that ever happened before?
That has never happened. And the disrespect for this president we have never seen in history.
Never.
I mean,
well, you know, Bush got chews thrown at him. But I'm, you know,
that
I think
was over in another country.
Race card. I think Obama went after this for himself. He should have had an idea what the heck was going to happen to him. But that's not what I'm worried about, the people that's calling him names. That don't mean anything. It's when he enacts these policies, like this surtax in his Obamacare, which is going to increase dividends from the 15% that they are now, the dividends up to 43.4%. When are you going to increase the dividends that sub-S corporations? Sub-S corporations are small business. It permits the taxing of the company based on the individual who owns the company, their tax rate. That's going to go up to 43.4%. You know, blacks as a whole, and I understand what the other ladies say, but I'm sorry, ma'am. I live in a black community. I've been associated with African-Americans, and we are dead last on anything that measures you as being an American. And when you look at the times that black unemployment was less than 10%, from Richard Nixon up until Obama, it was less than 10% more times under Republican administration than it has been under Democratic administration, including Clinton.
It's the system.
I don't know if that's true or not. I've got statistics.
Well,
don't
verify
that.
I'm not going to say anything in respect of the host who invited me here. I'm not going to say anything that's a lie that I can't prove.
Well, likewise, sir. Likewise, and I do appreciate you for being, you know. But I'm saying to you, I'm in a black community, and I pastor a black church, and I feel the recession. I feel the pain that's going on from my congregants. And I'm telling you,
may I interject?
You might. Certainly.
Yes, in regards to all the racial and ethnic and class divisions that we have that we've been alluding to. Absolutely, we need to get over that. But is Romney, is he going to kick the system? In my opinion, absolutely not. He's going to perpetuate the system. I'm absolutely convinced that he cares almost solely for white conservatives like himself. I don't think he cares about the black community. I don't think he cares about Asian communities. I don't think he cares about gays and lesbians. The system is flawed, but is Romney the answer? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And I need to say,
you know what?
Why are you saying this, Carrie?
I would like to ask one question.
I love this conversation.
I'm sorry.
I love this conversation.
I drew a blank there. But Romney is Mormon. That said, doesn't the Mormon religion have some really odd thinking about black people as, and I know we're back on color again, but yeah, I'm just bringing that out there because that's something that I know. I understand that Mormons believe that black people are evil. I'm just saying. And if there's a Mormon on listening, you can call in and tell me if it's different. But that's what my research found when I was researching Romney. That's very scary because
they supported slavery. Look at history. They actually supported slavery, and blacks could not be ministers in the Mormon Church until around the 1970s.
Until 1976.
I definitely think that Mormons have a problem with race.
They do. And I think, you know, it's a shame. In 2008, when President Obama was running, when he was running for president, they jumped all over Reverend Jeremiah Wright. For a sound bite of a sermon that was taken totally out of context, because I've heard people say worse than that. If they had just listened to the whole sound bite, they would have gotten, and they would have understood where he was coming from. The Mormon Church believes that the mark that God put on Cain was his skin, was a black skin color, and we are less than animals. They have a belief that God
the Ham story, The Ham story comes out of the Council of Jamnia, which was held by some Jewish rabbis. But here in St. Louis, this is what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about his religion. I'm not worried about what they think. Here in St. Louis, we had a federal and state-funded bridge to expand between St. Louis and East St. Louis, all Illinois. Right. And on St. Louis side, the black population is about 50-60%. On the East St. Louis side, it's about 90%. On that job, you couldn't get blacks hired on the East St. Louis side or even on the St. Louis side comparable to their numbers. You had black workers that went to school because we shut down the highways because of highway work in the past. They went to school. They were drug tested. They trained. But they still was bringing white workers in from as far as Champaign, Illinois, commuting them in order to employ them on this job. Now, here's the point for the president could have do. When we complained about this and had meetings with the governor of Illinois and also the Illinois Department of Transportation, the transportation department came down and met with us, and they specifically said that federal guidelines say that they only have to comply to 14.8%. 14.8% is a goal that was set back in the 1970s when the community was majority white. Now it's majority black, and they still adhere to say, well, we only have to put 14.8% blacks on this job, where your community on one side is 99% black and 60% on the other side. Now, I don't know if the people that's putting this in effect are Mormons or Christians or whatever. I know one thing, that we have black workers that need to be working in their own community. And it's not happening.
You're right. It is not. It's not happening anywhere. But you know, you said the Mormons supported slavery. I'm in Texas. The Southern Baptists supported slavery as well. All right. So
y'all, let's
you know,
go back to the phone lines. Anonymous caller, you're up. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Awesome. Awesome. Hello, everyone. Cool.
Good evening.
I've been listening to the call for about 45 minutes, and, you know, I sometimes started to wonder if I was in the same century, 2012, same year, because of some of the ideas that are being expressed here. You know, one of the things that I don't think anybody has touched on yet is the concept of having a leader or a ruler or a tyrant or whatever you want to call the office of presidency. And I hear a lot of bickering on the line about who should be assigned as, you know, the plantation manager is what it sounds like to me. And I'm just trying to figure out why people are still looking to these leaders or authority figures or whatever they are, where obviously the entire presidency itself has failed people, all kinds of people in all different walks of life from its inception. And so instead of the conversation being, how do we get together within our respective communities and make change without having to, you know, look on high to some magical figure to save us as individual communities or as a collective nation? You know, it sounds like people have a lot of really great ideas of things that need to be implemented within their own communities in order to put people in to work in areas that are needed in the community and so on and so forth. And it seems like everyone is acknowledging it has not been able to get implemented, looking on high to this position called presidency or the entire House of Representatives, Congress, and all of them. But yet we're still trying to figure out and discuss over who should be sitting in that seat. And no one's really considering putting themselves in that seat within their own home and making it happen in that direction, as opposed to looking first anyone else to do it for us.
Well, look, I don't think anybody in America has ever viewed Barack Obama as some sort of messianic figure who is going to solve all the problems that we have.
The president, the position of president, I don't really care whose name you want to put there, the position of president, the position of Congress or the positions of Congress and House of Representatives, the entire collective government has been failing the people from inception of the idea of government. And all we can do still in 2012 instead of trying to figure out how to get stuff done within our homes, within our communities, respective communities, within our cities, and so on and so forth, we're still trying to look for this, to this figure on high, in this office and position on high that has failed us. I don't care what you look like on the outside. It, you're not happy with what's going on, regardless of who is sitting there at the top. And every 4 years, we get to bicker and argue over who else should sit, be sitting there on top telling us what to do, how to do it, and more importantly, deciding who should die if they don't agree with what we want to do. That's no longer
work. Well, look, I understand the frustration with Barack Obama.
No, you need to stop saying Barack Obama's name. I don't have a frustration with Obama. I have a frustration with the human beings who can run their own life, who can think critically, who can decide for themselves who they want to love, who they want to marry, what they want to do with their children as far as educating them, what they would like to do with their life as far as their life's work that they were born with to do or they will decide to do once they're here. Those are the people that I have frustrations with, if you want to say frustrations. I really don't care about Barack Obama. I don't care about Mitt Romney. And it's almost offensive that there are four other people on the presidential ballot in 80% of the states, and no, they're not being discussed, but that's fine as well because we don't need that position of presidency or Congress or the House of Representatives or the entire government to run our lives for us. No one should be able to decide the types of things that they have the audacity to sit up there on TV and decide and say they're going to have these ideas about. They don't need any ideas about who my neighbor should marry or when or what they should do with their children or assigning, most importantly, people, someone to produce our food. No one needs to be in that position to make those types of decisions for us. And instead of that, people want to talk about
the political
guy.
Yeah, someone
like
needs to ask her, what side of the political spectrum are you on?
Yes, and, or what side of the political spectrum do you see making these statements?
I don't understand what you're saying. I'm making this statement as a human being that lives in America.
But you're not going to be a part of the voting process this year.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Are you going to vote?
By the decisions that I make. I lead by example in my life. What I do today, tomorrow,
Have you voted, ma'am?
What I'm saying is I'm not going to assign anyone else the authority to make decisions in my life because it sounds
I understand
like
what you're saying. You're basically like
on here is having. The problem is that it sounds like everyone on this call is having is that someone else on high that they cannot look in their eyes, shake their hand, or anything else is making decisions about their personal life and their community.
But I think I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. I think what you're saying, though, is kind of along the lines of what Kimberly is saying, but that's not something that you can change overnight. That's like a process. I mean, that takes like a revolution. And I don't think the country is prepared.
If we don't talk about it at all, and if all we're talking about is the status quo, which version of the status quo are you voting for? I'm voting for this version of remaining the same. The other person is remaining for the same version of remaining the same, but looks slightly different, so we're fooling ourselves that it is different. So
I understand your frustration, and I think I have the same level of frustration.
Even, although it can't happen overnight,
but I do.
Talk about it, when is it going to happen?
But I think what you don't understand, though, is you can't have this many people and you don't have some system in place. Otherwise, you'll have anarchy. Is that not correct?
Well, we're not talking about a system. We're talking about individual people. I hear Barack Obama, Obama, Obama. I hear Romney.
You've
got to
have somebody running
the
country with this many people. You got to put somebody in place to call. I mean, without it, you'd have – that's not even possible right now. I mean, because – with someone in place, we got craziness. So if you put nobody in place, we have real craziness. So you can't do it like that. You can't just overnight say, you know what, no president, everybody, you know, does what he feels is right in his own heart. That would be craziness.
That's what we're doing anyway. We're just also having somebody that we can blame when it doesn't go our way or someone that we can hope will sit there and still allow us to do what we want to do. It's the same thing anyway. Everybody's still doing what they want to do. A criminal is not a criminal simply because there's a law preventing them. They do what they want to do anyway. What we're sitting here deciding is who has the monopoly on enforcing violence.
Well, we're
when
not deciding.
Don't agree
we're not
with
deciding
what
violence.
Saying.
If you commit violence against another person, that's a criminal act, which is punishable by crime. The United States is a country of laws. The supreme law of this country is the United States Constitution, which gives you the right to associate or disassociate whoever you want to. It's not the supreme law. It's not the supreme law of this country.
Every president has violated that Constitution.
Okay.
Every president has violated that very constitution that you're calling the supreme law. Because if it was the supreme law, then it wouldn't matter who sits in the office. It will always be enforced. But that's not the case. So the constitution is either too weak to stop the junk from happening, or it has put in place the mechanisms in which to cause it to happen. It's one or the other. So it's not the supreme law of the land. It's just another thing to assign people their authority to other than themselves.
Are you an American?
Thank you, caller.
Am I American? Yes, I'm an American.
Okay.
Were you born American or naturalized?
What difference does that make?
Thank you, caller. Thank you. Don't shout back the caller to a corner. Thank you, caller. If you just tuned in, you've come to Interstate tonight for the discussion. Who's getting your vote on Election Day?
I need to let you know this, and I'll get off because you have some very intelligent commentators tonight. I don't know who this gentleman is up in St. Louis.
That is Piansky.
Who?
Piansky actually was on another show that you were part of, and you were asking Piansky a lot of questions about. I'll explain to you, but Piansky's been on another show. Piansky, do you remember the show about how well do you know your Bible?
And there's another gentleman on. Sounds like maybe a news person from maybe CNN or someone like that. I don't know.
Okay, that would be Chris.
Black commentator on Buffalo.
What black commentator? Okay, y'all, we gonna fill you in later, Pastor.
Yeah,
you got it. And you have a lady.
I've already
on.
Voted.
You
I
have
voted
a lady
first.
On too. That's very. It has very good points. I forget her name, but she has excellent
that's Kimberly
points.
Noor. That's Kimberly Noor.
Kimberly, I enjoy her summaries.
Well, you know,
that
one
is
thing,
why they're on the panel tonight. Excuse me. This is Center Stage. We invite intelligent people.
This is Center Stage. That's right, Carrie. This is Center Stage.
Don't forget that.
Maybe we should have, Carrie, we should have round two before the election.
You really should.
I'm going to ask all three of you something, and I'm going to get off, and then I'm going to get off the line and just listen. Listen,
okay.
President Obama's, if you believe in the polls, Mitt Romney is now tied with our president. He is across the country, I understand, tied with the president. Now, as a man of faith, and I'm not saying you all are not, but as a man of faith, I have to tell my parishioners, listen, simply this, no matter what the outcome is, you keep trusting in God, no matter how difficult it might be, you keep trusting in God, and just like God did for our ancestors, God will open the door for you, all right? I tell them to vote. I remind them how important voting is. But as a man of faith,
do you tell them who to vote for?
I do not. I can't tell them who to vote for.
Okay.
But I know how to maybe influence. I'll get out of the pulpit and I'll just say, I'm voting for Barack Obama.
Oh.
I can get out.
Is that fair?
To me it is. I said as an individual, I am voting for this man. I'm not preaching vote for Obama or vote for Romney or vote for the lady said there were some other people out there. But I will say, as an individual, I am voting, and I have already voted for President Obama.
Y'all, is that fair? Well, thank you, Pastor Campbell. Is
all
that
right,
fair,
Carrie.
Y'all, when the pastor steps out of the pulpit and say, hey, y'all, I'm voting for President Obama, do what you want to do. Isn't he influential? Isn't he an influential person to his congregants? So is that really fair for him to do that?
Well, he has the right to express his opinion, and keep in mind, it's not the popular vote that determines who is president. It's actually the Electoral College. And it looks like Barack Obama actually has a significant lead as far as electoral votes go. It looks like it's all hinging on Ohio, and I'm watching CNN right now. And in Ohio, Obama is leading Romney by 50% to Romney's 46%. So in my opinion, I definitely think that Obama is going to get reelected because he's going to get most of the electoral votes. Certainly he's going to get the 270 needed to win.
But doesn't this sound like a repeat of Gore and Bush?
Yes, and that's unfortunate. And again, I'll be the first to admit that the American voting system is flawed to an extent, but, you know, it could be a whole lot worse. Look at how governments function in China or Russia compared to countries like that where, you know, you can actually go to prison just for questioning the decisions of your leaders. America has a great system.
You know what?
I'm voting for Kimberly Noor 2012 because, like I said, I know what's best
for
me.
You're going to be
right. No, I'm not even participating, but I'm just saying I know what's best for me. I know how to conduct myself. I know how to implement the things that I'd like to do in my home because I can't expect the world to change if I don't change myself. And if I participate in a broken system, I'm not changing. I'm just going along with the same old BS we've had for years and years and years. And this whole, and it's not even, you know, people don't realize, they think like, you know, America's this great country. We're set up as a business. There's a president. We're an incorporation. We got a president. We got a secretary. We got a vice president. You know, we're like a business. So, you know, it's never going to change unless we put the business out of business and really start making changes. And that's just the bottom line because, you know, like I said, the blacks, the whites, the this, the that. It's just, you know, we're so intelligent and we're not utilizing that intelligence like we should. We should come together and finally end all of this stuff and move forward. I know it can't happen overnight tomorrow, but it can happen. It can happen quicker than you think. I mean, people change their lives in 6 months, go from corporate to look at the people in Greece who've left their corporate jobs and are living in communally living, growing their own food, really living, lounging by the beach all day, you know, hanging out, getting water, eating together, you know, really coming together and really living instead of riding this hamster wheel. I don't want to ride the hamster wheel anymore. I'm done.
You know what?
Well, you know, we need government. I mean, that's just a basic fact. We need some sort of government.
We need some sort of government, but we have too much government right now. Anytime when you have a government that takes in $2.4 trillion, just as they've done this past September the 30th, the ending fiscal year for 2012, and you spend $3.6 trillion, you got $16.2 trillion in debt. Your unfunded liability, sir, and it sounds like you will, if not already, looking forward to Social Security, but your unfunded liability is $121 trillion. Those are for Medicare, Social Security, and also prescription drugs, which Bush brought into effect. Where is the U.S. going to come up with that kind of money? They don't have it. We have put our great grandchildren at such a disadvantage with the rest of the world. You have to stop spending.
What you need to do is really educate yourself on how the Federal Reserve works. It works by debt. The more debt they create, the more paper money is being able to be created. It's a system that, you know, on TV they tell you, it's like pre-programming that, you know, we've got a debt ceiling. Should we raise the debt ceiling? They need debt. When you go in the bank and you apply for a loan, do you think they go and get $200,000 out of the back and say, okay, here you go? No, they create that money. They create that money out of thin air. Then they compound interest your butt for 30 years on something that they created out of thin air while the money is flowing back and forth in the Federal Reserve, creating more debt, creating more slaves. We have like ankles, shackles around our wrists, our ankles, and we keep riding that hamster wheel,
And to add to that, we complain about China devaluating its currency. Well, Bernanke have issued Q1, quantitative easing 2, quantitative easing 3. What do you think that does to the value of the United States dollars? You're doing the same thing that China is doing. And another point, why is it that the U.S. back in 1913 went to this crazy, decrepit system of the Federal Reserve? Why come the U.S. Treasury can't do that? We're paying these private bankers this year $257 billion in interest on a debt where money was created out of plain air. You are taking your hard-earned money, the taxes from your hard-earned salary and wages, and you are paying with hard-earned money for something that never, ever existed.
Exactly, we keep voting. We keep doing the same thing. We keep supporting a system. I can no longer support that system. I can no longer go in there and vote, okay, which one of these lesser evils is going to be better to guide me? Neither one of them. I don't want to play it anymore. It's not legal. It's not right. I do not want to be a slave. You know, people who are of darker skin color talk about them being slaves and having slave owners. Everyone in America who plays the hamster wheel is like, it's like being a slave. But you know what? You're really, you think you're free because you watch TV and you get programmed all day. And then you get, they tell you what to buy. They tell you how to dress. They tell you how to think. Then you send your kids away to these government-ran schools who tell you what to think for 12 years. They tell you to be quiet for 12 years. Then you just repeat all this crap. Thanksgiving. Oh, let's celebrate Thanksgiving. Oh, you know, the Indians, get this skull crack. A crock. It's just a crock. I mean, when are we going to say enough is enough? We need to seek out real education. We need to seek out what really is the Federal Reserve, and we need to stop playing the game. When we stop playing the game, we will see change. Start implementing stuff in your own home. Start implementing things within your own self, and go out and do these things. Get further yourself outside of your community. Meet people you've never met before. Start looking at everyone as they are yourselves. And when people look at everyone in America, all around the world, as another human, as their own selves, no matter what shade of skin, no matter how much melanin you have in your skin, then we will see real change. We will see a revolution. We will see people come together and be able to really live and do what they want to do and not be told how to do this, when to do this, when to go to work, when to get off, when to pay taxes, what to buy in the grocery store, what to watch on TV. It's just nuts. It's a train that is going out of control is what it is.
If you just tuned in, you've come to Center Stage tonight for the discussion. Who's getting your vote on Election Day? We're talking to Ms. Kimberly Noor, Chris Stevenson. We're also talking to author Jonathan Maxwell, and Piensky out of St. Louis is also on the line. Also, and Pastor Campbell is still with us. Also, a reminder, the chat room is closed tonight because we just knew we couldn't keep up with the chat room tonight. So we decided if you want to talk or if you want to say anything about this show, you need to call in tonight. The phone number is 347-850-8390. And press 1. Again, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment about this show, get on the phone lines. Call us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. And also, y'all forgot to remind you that tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Listen, y'all, Kimberly brought up a good point. Isn't voting really just picking the lesser of two evils? I mean, you know, because this race, if 90 million people are not going to vote, I mean, well, was that the number that I said? 40%, let's just say 40% of the people are not going to vote this election, and these are eligible voters, are not going to vote. What's going on with this election? Isn't this the most important election of our lifetime? Why is 40% of eligible voters choosing not to participate? What's really wrong with that picture?
I think one thing about it, Obama's not evil. Okay, I've heard that term about regarding a lot of races. Obama's not evil. I haven't said, maybe I missed something. You guys may have caught something I didn't, but
no. That's just a question. I didn't catch anything. No.
Well, you know, they said that about Reagan, too. You can go look at it. I remember reading in the Black Enterprise magazine back in 1976, I believe it was, and it was how are we going to survive Reagan? Well, we did survive Reagan. Reagan was called everything except for the son of Sam in our community.
And it was true. Reagan was an SOB.
No, Bush some things, too, now. Maybe Bush got called some things, too. But okay. And Chris
we survived Bush, but I think that any thinking person would have to include that, sure, we survived George W. Bush, but it was also a disastrous administration. You know, it looks fairly apparent now that the war in Iraq was based almost entirely on faulty intelligence. As far as the president being evil, I suppose you could say that, the presidency is evil, but I think it's a necessary evil.
Let's be clear, because Chris said the same thing. I did not call the president evil. I said, voting basically choosing the lesser of two evils? I was really piggybacking off a comment that Kimberly Knorr had just made.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Obama is evil, and I'm not saying Mitt Romney is evil. I'm not saying any of them are evil. I'm saying the system that they represent is not a good system, no matter what shade of skin you are, no matter what gender you are, no matter what sexual preference you prefer. It's a system that wants to, it's going to always leave out a group of people, no matter what way you look at it. There's always going to be hungry people, starving people, people left out. You know, I should not be able to come here and tell you, Carrie, how to run your household, and you shouldn't come to me and tell me how I run my household. As long as I'm not hurting or harming you and you're not hurting or harming me, you should be able to do what you like, when you like, with whatever you want to do, and I should do the same. And I feel that that would be the best. We are best to govern ourselves, and I think that when people start to realize, wow, that's really possible, that, like, you, all of you on the panel can best, you all know what's best for your own household. No one should tell you. If one of you likes, you know, the same sex, wonderful. It makes no difference to me what you like. If I don't like the same sex, that's wonderful. It's whatever we choose. As long as we're not harming anybody, I don't see the problem. I don't understand what it makes a difference as to if someone's getting gay married, if someone's not getting gay married, if someone believes in abortion, if someone doesn't believe in abortion, if someone likes, you know, whatever the case may be. It just should be, as long as we all respect each other, and we need to move from that mind frame about, you know, African Americans, whites, Hispanics. We're all human. We're all human.
We all have
migrated from Africa.
But,
that's
you know, regardless,
fact.
Election day is coming. A candidate is going to be chosen. So my perspective is, since that's inevitable, make sure your voice is heard by voting for somebody. Just staying out of an election, I don't really think that's doing anyone any good.
How do you even know that your vote really counts? How do you know the system is the system fails us every day? So how do you know that what we have seen in the past, like with George Bush, and then all of a sudden he just went to Florida? How do you know that the system, that it even really even works? How do you know that? How do you know that there isn't things like the Bilderberg Group and people who are even higher up that really manipulate and control all these things anyways?
We could go with how do you know it's all night long, but you still try to go out there and vote. You do your part. Make sure you do your part.
Let me ask you a question. Switch it up a little bit. You know, Kimberly alluded to earlier about getting off the hamster wheel. Is it really smart today to continue to just vote along your party lines, or should you really look more closely into who the candidates are and what they stand for, rather than saying, you know, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or I'm a, you know, this or that? Is that really smart today?
No, I think the record speaks for itself. I think there's a clear choice in this election. Romney wants to dramatically increase military expenditures even though there's no justification for that, Romney has indicated that he wants federal troops sent into Syria and Iran. He has a very aggressive foreign policy in mind. His tax plan will cost American middle-class voters an additional $2,000 to $3,000 annually. I think there's a clear choice, and I think that President Obama is the better choice.
Well, you know, that, what you said, I agree with you. I'm scared of Romney's foreign policy. I'm sick and tired of these wars myself. To say that we won Iraq and Afghanistan is misleading, because anytime that something of that nature is costing you $4.6 trillion before it's all said and done, it don't sound like it's a win to me. You're talking about evil. The Tea Party has a very good agenda. But some people call them Tea Party members. If Tea Party members are evil, that's not what I'm concerned. I want to know what their platform and what their agenda for. And when you read their agenda is excellent. The things that the checks and balances that they put in about a balanced budget, and that a bill should stand alone and not have all sort of attachments included onto it, and that a politician must read the bill. It should be brought to the public so the public know what they're being asked to pay for. What's wrong with those things?
Well, you do know that there's a third party, right, running, and that, I'm in Florida, and there's 17 presidential nominations on the ballot, and at the end of that, you can have a write-in. So when people focus just on Republican, Democrat, I mean, there's so many other options out there for people, and I think that if you do want to play into their hamster wheel game, I mean, at least educate yourself as to what you're doing. There isn't just Democrat and Republican. There's Libertarian, Gary Johnson. There's a whole host of people that are on different states, just depending on, you know, what state you live in. And there's always the write-in. So, you know, it's just...
Well, I agree with you on the third party, because these two parties here have been disastrous. Jerry Johnson's good. As I said before, Ron Paul, I wish he could have... been more appealing than
you can still write Ron Paul in. I mean, that's, you know, Ron Paul supporters plan on writing him in.
I want to touch on the Tea Party here for a second. Doesn't it bother you that whenever there's some sort of camera focusing on Tea Party demonstrations, inevitably, there are Tea Party members bearing signs comparing Barack Obama with Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. I mean, shouldn't that be cause for concern?
Well, the same people that's the Tea Party today are the Blue Dog Democrats in the South. That's Republicans today. So, no, I look at the Tea Party position on Second Amendment rights. I look at Tea Party position on federal spending limitation and budget cap. I look at Tea Party position on abolishing of the Department of Education, because the Department of Education has been a total wreck for my community. It has been a total wreck for my community. As a matter of fact, the schools that have less federal funding does better than the inner city schools, which have an abundance, overabundance of federal funding, and also state funding. So, no, I look at the Tea Party's agenda rather than look at the clowns that the cameras seem to focus on.
Yeah,
there does seem to be a lot of clowns in the Tea Party, however. In fact, some of the Tea Party candidates have been just complete embarrassments. Who was the Tea Party candidate who openly admitted that during her youth she was a witch. I mean, and we want these sorts of candidates holding public office. Me, I'll go with Barack Obama anytime.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you come center stage for the discussion, who's getting your vote on Election Day. A reminder, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, get on the phone line. Call us up at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. Listen, you know, One thing that was really interesting in this race is that Mitt Romney's tax returns became an issue. And the more he gave, the more they wanted him to give. Was his tax returns an issue for you? I mean, did you really need to know, like, for the last 10 years how much money he's made? Is that an issue?
I was impressed with the percentage of his
birth control record. The issue is Obama's college transcripts an issue to them?
Exactly. That was my next question. You're reading my mind. Because if his tax returns are an issue, then we'll just put the line up the next question. Then is it fair for Donald Trump to demand the birth certificate and the school transcript?
That was just pure racism, just pure and simple. Donald Trump would never have demanded to see those documents from a white candidate. I think that's just racism, pure and simple.
Well, if Donald Trump is a racist, and I really don't, Donald Trump is a private citizen. But what is Obama when he tells a duly elected president of Cote d'Ivoire to step down, even though he's in compliance of his constitution, for another person who's supported by France? What is it when Obama tells a Mubarak that he should step down? That's up to the people of those countries. It's not his responsibility to go around bullying people. We talk about bullying that goes on in our public schools, in our society with our young people. But what is that if that's not bullying? What is it when you tell a country if you don't open up your society for gay marriage, if you don't open up your society for same sex, if you don't open up your society for go against your will, saying that life begins at conception, if you don't do these things, we're going to cut off humanitarian aid to you? Is that not bullying?
Good question. Anybody want to address it?
Well, look, I don't think it's bullying at all. You know, as a commander-in-chief, he has the right to express those opinions. If you want to mention something that clearly was bullying, I think that would be George W. Bush sending federal troops over to Iraq. That, to me, is bullying. I think that Barack Obama is just expressing his opinions. I think he's been very, very diplomatic about it. Do I necessarily agree with all his viewpoints? No, not necessarily. But I think it's a long way from bullying, certainly. I certainly don't think that Obama has been out of line at all. Sending in troops overseas to enforce imperialism, that's bullying. I don't think that Obama has engaged in bullying whatsoever.
Well,
he's just been a very measured...
When you use drones to kill innocent men, women, and children and call them collateral damage, yet to see when you have an ambassador that dies from smoke inhalation in a burning building, you call that a terrorist act, I think it's bullying. Pakistan think it's bullying. Afghanistan's thinking it's bullying. The people in Yemen thinking it's bullying. The people in Somalia thinking it's bullying. It sounds like bullying to me. And getting
and
back
the
to
reason,
the other point, you saying that he's a commander-in-chief, the commander-in-chief telling the president they should sit down, they're not at war with them. He's just meddling, bullying.
And I didn't tell him to bully for me. I didn't tell him to express his rights, what he feels for me. I didn't ask for any of that. I didn't ask him to go over there and do any of that stuff. I mean, you know, it needs to stop. Like, he is... The system, it's not him, it's the system that he is leading, it's the system. Until
but a lot of people think that Mitt Romney will change things for the better, and I think that's ridiculous. Talk about bullying, he's in favor of putting troops in Syria, as well as Iran, and for that matter, Libya. Romney simply has the same mindset as George W. Bush always had. If someone doesn't agree with you, invade them. So as far as bullying, just look at Mitt Romney. That, in my opinion, is a bully. Personally, I think that Barack Obama has been one of the most centrist balanced, careful, prudent presidents we've ever had. Personally, if you want to level some criticism at Barack Obama, I think that you should accuse him of being too centrist, of being a bit too status quo, about being a little too circumspect. That being said, I think that's certainly better than the militant policies of George W. Bush and the militant policies that Romney is advocating, you know, if he's elected president.
Well, you know, talking about what Obama...
The government is like the game of soccer, right? And the president represents the goalie, okay? Some goalies are good. Some goalies are mediocre. But the game is still the same. There's still a goalie. There's still specific players that play on the field. Until the game is stopped, it won't change, no matter who is the head, no matter if it's Barack Obama, no matter if it's Mitt Romney, George W. Bush, Hillary Clinton, whoever it is, it's still going to be the same. You're still playing under the same set of rules. You're still playing that same game over and over and over.
And yeah,
let's talk about our VPs, y'all. let's talk about, first of all, this VP hopeful, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan has some views.
Talking about a bully.
I mean, he has some pretty interesting views. They say he wants to ban common forms of birth control. They said he opposes the right to choose. They said he voted to end funding for Planned Parenthood. Is he good for women voters? I mean, do we want a Paul Ryan as our VP?
Now, that's a bully. He does not believe in abortion, even if the mother's life is in danger. You know, he's opposed to abortion even in cases of rape and incest. That, to me, is a bully. I think that America should be absolutely terrified with the prospect of Ryan being one step away from the presidency.
Well, I don't think so. You know, the funny thing that Ryan was 2 years old when Joe Biden got into the Senate. And you look how long this old and the guy has been there. I think that this is, but, you know, what's more bullying when a baby is aborted and it comes out and it's alive and it's taken to another room where it can die? That's tragic. What's more important when we in black African American community since 1973 to 2005, you had over 18 million black babies aborted. If that's not bullying, what do we call it? And we wondered, and we worried about getting our people out to vote. Wonder how many votes that would have equated to if those children were allowed to live.
So, on the issue
of whether or not rape is legal. Sure, whether the government pays for abortion in case of rape, there's different definitions of rape. There's consensual rape. You talk about incest.
Wait. As a woman, there is no such thing. That's an oxymoron.
You cannot say consensual.
And
what
and
happened
rape
to Mike Tyson? What happened to Mike Tyson after he had sex with his girlfriend?
Kimberly Noor, help me out with
cool.
that. Come on, you can't say consensual and rape in the same sentence and
but
say no.
But it is a legal definition. I didn't make it. I'm just telling you
it's either it's consensual or it's rape, but it's not both.
Well, if you have a father that's 50, have sex with his daughter that's 25, and she become pregnant, should the government pay for it, even though it's incest?
But she should have the right to abort the fetus.
If you say she's 25, then she's a legal age, she'll make her own decision. So she knows how to pick up the phone and call the police. That's like for another show. I said, wow, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to put it out there. Consensual and rape does not go together.
Yeah, that's not right.
There's cases where, for instance, with Mike Tyson, when he had sex with his girlfriend, everything was fine until she asked him to walk her down to her car. He said no. Then, at that point in time, she called it rape.
Yep.
Well, see, in my opinion, that wasn't rape. That's like a mad girlfriend who uses the system against you. That's not rape.
When do consensual sex
turn into... I mean, and as a woman, I'll say that was... If that's what... That's in fact the facts of the story,
all
then that's not rape.
I ask this question. When did consensual sex turn into rape?
In the case of this young lady, she went to his room anyway, his hotel room. Was it 2 a.m? So, what was she?
Okay. We're gonna go somewhere really deep with that. But I'm gonna put it out there like this. This is how I really feel, and I'll be honest with you. And we probably go in left field here on this. But whenever a woman says no, then it's no. Now, if she says yes and sex occurs, then that was consensual. But if she says no, that means no. I don't care if she went to your room at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
if she got there and changed her mind, no means no.
There.
But we're going to go to the phone lines. I'm not going to get into that one.
Right.
We're going to go to anonymous caller. Good evening. You're center stage. Your number is blocked, so I have to call you anonymous caller. Good evening. You're on center stage.
I'm sorry. I was unmuting my phone.
Okay.
My name's Teresa, and I'm not voting. I've been voting for approximately 35 years now, and this will be the first time that I won't. And I have a question. It really concerned me that the minister made a point that he was voting for President Obama, and he said that he didn't think, or I got the idea that he didn't think he was influential with his congregants by stating such. But my question to everyone listening maybe address my question is that I thought constitutionally church and state are supposed to be separate. And I'm choosing church because they're nonprofit organizations. And should they, or can they, make a stand for a political party and or person when they're under a nonprofit standard?
And
I
really don't know the answer.
But the the pastor did have the First Amendment right to make his opinion heard. He's in favor of Obama, and that's it. Just because that he said that in a church, I think that's incidental. I mean, he does have the First Amendment right to express his opinion.
You know, employers have fired employees based on the bumper sticker, political bumper sticker that they have on their cars, and they was within their rights to do so.
I'm not worried, honestly, about him expressing his opinion in there because I think that it makes no difference, especially when they will sit there and tell you on the TV that it really doesn't matter and we have an electoral college and, it really is the two swing states that choose the president, is supposedly, but I don't believe any of that, so it really doesn't affect me one way or the other that he went and expressed his opinion.
Okay, anybody else want to address the caller in that question?
Yes. Well, I agree with I agree that the person who's operating under the privilege of a tax-exempt status has to follow the rules as they are put out by the Treasury Department. Now, if they think those rules are wrong based on statute, the agency creates the rule based on their interpretation of the statute, then you should bring the courts into play. But one thing that I noticed that under this presidency, those IRS have not been going after those people that they perceive has violated those rules like it was during the Bush administration.
And caller, I will just say this, Pastor Campbell is hung up now, but one thing he did say is I step out of the pulpit before I, and he says once I step out of the pulpit, I'll say that I'm voting for Obama. So he did not say he was standing in his pulpit and saying, he said, I stepped down out of the pulpit. So I'm assuming that's like after he, service is over, then he's making that statement.
And he was not browbeating his congregants either. Again, he was simply expressing his own opinion. And keep in mind, he also suggested that they vote their consciences. So I don't think any law or rule has been violated at all. And I think that's a big problem in this country. If there's a problem, just bring the courts into it. I think that's one particularly bad thing about America. We've just become so litigation happy that we've just lost all common sense.
But that's what the courts are for. When Congress enacts a statute, then that statute is passed on to the agency who that statute applied to, and it's up to that agency to determine what the rules are based on their opinion of the statute. Now, their opinion may be different than somebody else's opinion. And when you have those differences of opinion on a statute, then you have to bring the courts into to determine whether or not these rules are going against that bill, or are they in line with that bill.
Aren't a lot of these cases frivolous? I mean, aren't a lot of them frivolous? The only people who are really benefiting are the lawyers themselves, who are making big bucks off the miseries of others.
You know, one of the first things that Romney said he'll do, I think he said his first day would be that he would repeal Obamacare. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, here's one thing about it. A lot of people, especially opponents, they said that, well, Obama didn't write the health care bill anyway. No president writes laws. They're not legislators. Okay, they're executors. Obama, as a state senator and U.S. senator, he wrote like 780 laws for the state of Illinois, or co-wrote, and got 280 of them passed. Now, these guys, they said the same thing during the last midterm election, during the 2010 election. We're going to repeal Obamacare. Until they looked at it and says, we can't handle it. That's 2,000-3,000 pages. They could not even begin to comprehend because most of these Republicans were too dumb anyway. And Romney's not going to be any different. He will say anything right now to get elected. And number two, why would he repeal his own law anyway?
Okay. Yeah, this is true. They said that's exactly the same law that he had written.
Sure.
Ironically, Obamacare is actually based on Romney's universal health care plan that he enacted, in Massachusetts. Of course, he can't say that because he wants support from right-wing conservatives who want Obamacare just completely dismantled. Obamacare actually owes a lot to Romney's own health care plan.
I think some parts of it should be repealed, like some of the taxations that's in there. It's nothing more than a backdoor attempt to collect more taxes. I'm against the federal government telling you that you have to buy something, and don't nobody say it's the same thing as automobile, or should I say financial liability, that you have to show to a state in order to drive on a highway. It's not. It's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, do you all consider this the most important election of your lifetime?
No, but it is important.
Oh, I consider this absolutely the most important. Why do you feel it's not?
Well, America has always gone through drastic times.
Okay.
I'll be the first to admit that what we're going through a tough time, but certainly you could argue that there have been tougher times in America. There's been slavery. There's been the Civil War. There's been the Great Depression. There was all the political instability during the 1960s. Is this the most important election ever? That's debatable. I will say that it is a very important one, and that every eligible voter should get out there and vote to have his or her voice heard. And I want to touch about Obamacare meaning more taxes. That's debatable. Keep in mind that the government accounting office, the fiscal watchdogs for the government, have actually conducted studies, and the studies have indicated that Obamacare in the long run will actually decrease taxes. We absolutely need to have some sort of federally mandated health care system. Let's keep in mind that there are a million bankruptcies filed each year in America, and the primary reason is because people can't pay their own medical bills. Talking about a system that's broken.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. I just feel like this election is so vitally important because, I don't know, in my lifetime, I guess I should say, I have never seen it this bad, and I've never seen so many unemployed in my lifetime. That said, how important is the candidate's ability to create new jobs, and which candidate is most qualified to do that?
Obama,
I would rather see
a job creator. You know, Romney is not a venture capitalist like he's been telling people. He's a vulture capitalist, so he's destroyed a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people, a lot of people on both sides of the spectrum expect some sort of change based on what they've been saying, but you can't expect that. Romney, you know, it just doesn't look good for him. I mean, Romney's Mitt rhymes with a curse word for a certain reason. Okay, that's all I can say. Obama, the economic climate is going up gradually, but at least it's going up. You know, so I feel pretty secure in going along with that from that standpoint.
Yes, absolutely. Barack Obama is proving to be a job creator. Last month, unemployment went under 8%, and 114,000 jobs were added during the month. Take a look at the George W. Bush administration. All through his administration, they were losing jobs. So, you know, we're on the right track, absolutely. Sure, we're impatient, but, you know, we have a lot of problems to sort out. And maybe things aren't moving as fast as they should, but they're moving in a positive direction.
Well, looking at the number of the millions that was being laid off during the time that led up, during the time that leads up to now, should I say, there's nowhere been that kind of recovery. And I don't think it's ever, you're going to have that recovery. Jobs that was, which they weren't breaking the law when they done it. Jobs that left this country aren't coming back. And the United States is going to have to go through a strenuous austerity period, just like we've seen other countries. I mean, things just cost too much. You cannot compete. Obama said it himself. He said $20 an hour American wages cannot compete with $1.62. And what you going to do, go around the world and make everybody raise their wages up to $20 an hour? No, you're not, because in these countries just don't cost that much to live. China is creating is beginning to create a middle class, but you got to look at India. India is going to come on the scene. You got the BRICS nations with Brazil, Russia, India, and also South Africa. They're coming on the scene, and then Africa is going to come on the scene again. The $16 trillion that Obama is talking that we have now, and Obama is talking about saving $400 billion a year, how many years does it take to pay off $16 trillion? And that is that the $16 trillion remains stationary, which is not. So we're talking about 20, 30, maybe 40 years. United States is just going to have to go through these periods of time. It's going to drop down in the world ranking of economic powers.
Wow. Y'all, we are down to our last 8 minutes of the show. I have really, really enjoyed the discussion. Do any of you all have closing comments? Or I'd like to hear closing comments from all of you, in fact, about this election. What do you think about it? Anything that's on your mind about this election? Anything?
Well, I'm going to make my closing comment first. And I think, and my point is that, I'm speaking to the African-American community, that we need to stop voting blindly for Democrats. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you continue to vote for somebody, then expect for something to happen? No, you leverage what they want you to do. You leverage your vote. You give them an agenda and tell them that, look, this is what we want. What can you do? Or don't vote for them. We need to have a third party, like the lady said, the Libertarian Party, a whole new focus and ideas, because the two that we have today they basically both the same, has led us down this old treacherous road, dead-end road, and we just keep on getting worse and worse and worse.
Kimberly Knorr.
I still say vote no one 2012 because I think the system itself is a broken system and we just need to stop playing into it. I think that we need to stop depending on the TV and the government to educate us and our children. I think we need to go out with a logic and look for exactly what is really going on, how the government is set up and why it was set up in certain ways and why it's set up as a business and why it's set up for taxes, and really see if it makes sense for you to play into that system or if it makes sense to really become self-sustaining for you and your family and really go out into your community and meet your neighbors and see how you guys can get together and really implement all the changes you wish to see in the world, starting with you and in your neighborhood and in your community, and teach, you know, don't keep people on the breast forever, you know, let them off, you know, don't feed a man a fish, you know, teach them how to fish themselves, you know, and really get back into community and treating people as humans and get rid of racism. Stop talking about people as, you know, old Barack Obama, an African, and he's, you know, Mitt Romney, he's, you know, this, that, and the other. It's just a bad system.
Jonathan Maxwell.
I will agree that there should be a more viable third party out there. But the truth is that virtually all voters are going to be looking at either Obama or Romney, and that's just the way it is. So once again, we're looking at the lesser of two evils. And I am convinced that lesser of two evils will be Barack Obama. And since he's a very viable candidate, I say we go with him. I think that Romney and Ryan, I think that administration will be an absolute disaster. If enacted, it will be associated with more war, more recession, more massive tax cuts to the super rich, while the middle class dwindles dramatically.
Chris Stevenson.
I've been hearing, I listened to the lady talk about the third party, and that really is an issue that was raised way back by Senator Charles Sumner, I think, of Massachusetts. And, you know, he advised blacks to get a third party, maybe Thaddeus Stevens also. But, yeah, there are times when we can look at a third party, but right now we need to stick with Obama. I think he has tried to do some things, and I think in a Barack Obama with a second term, without fear of being losing an election for a third term, and without, and especially after the upcoming midterms, I think that'll be 2014. We will see the real Barack Obama and see what he really wants. See him bring out some of the things that he really wants to bring out, and then we can see whether or not he will have a black agenda, you know what I'm saying, or whatever the case may be, or what he plans. You know, all they talk about right now is the middle class and the rich. That's all, you know, either class talks about benefiting. But now what's he going to do for the poor? What's he going to do for the disenfranchised? Okay, I think this upcoming term, we will get a chance to see some of that. If Romney wins, it's lights out. Okay, you're not going to get any of that. Okay, so it's not the lesser of two evils. It's good versus evil, in my opinion.
Well, come June of 2015, when I come over and camp out on your house with my furniture and clothes, please don't call the police on me now.
B.S., you unquit. Oh, Lord. Y'all, thank y'all so much for this discussion tonight. I have really enjoyed it. I feel like I know who I'm going to vote for now. I'm not going to say y'all. But I feel like I know who I'm going to vote for. I'm going to go into that booth, and I'm going to make my choice. And I'm simply going to make a choice simply because so many people died for me to have that right. And so I'm going to disagree with Kimberly on that, because I just think so many people put their blood, sweat, and tears for us to have that right. And so for that reason, I am going to go in and pull the lever on Election Day. I'd like to say thank you to my guests who joined the discussion, who's getting your vote on Tuesday. Kimberly Knorr was with us tonight. Chris Stevenson with the Buffalo Bullet. Chris, will you tell them how to reach out to you, how to get to your blog and your information?
TheBuffaloBullet.com, www.TheBuffaloBullet.com. I write for a number of publications around the country. On the web, you can get me just – you can just Google Chris Stevenson Buffalo, whatever, or especially a lot of my stuff is on Black Commentator as well, which is national. You know, and I got one on Black Agenda Report. I think I put it in the summer. So you know, yeah, I get pretty wide coverage, but like most of my stuff, yeah, the BuffaloBullet.com.
Okay,
and those are good sources.
Author Jonathan Maxwell. Jonathan, tell them how to get your book, Murderous Intellectuals.
Yes, my book, Murderous Intellectuals, and my newest, Piltdown Man and Other Hoaxes, can be found at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon.com.
Okay. A reminder, y'all, go vote. Make a difference in this election. Also a reminder, we're looking for new show ideas, so if you have an idea for Center Stage, drop me a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Again, thank you to the guests. Thank you, audience, for listening.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Got to get out of here so we can make way for somebody else. But thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.